In the afternoon, there was another of those small crises that have beset this flight. A loose electrical cord delayed the separation of the moon landing ship, the Falcon, from the command ship, the Endeavour. But command module pilot Alfred Worden restored the connection and the two spacecraft separated. Then at 6:16 Eastern Time this evening, Scott and Irwin landed on the moon. And these were the final moments of their descent. Scott and Irwin are down and safe. Their Falcon landing ship perched at the foot of the towering Apennine mountain range on the north central face of the moon. Their target was a small basin near a canyon called Hadley Rill. This morning, as Apollo 15 skimmed low over the lunar surface, the astronauts televised pictures of the landing area.
Here we come up on the ridges on the west side of Serenitatis, just at the foothills of the Hadley Apennines. And you can see there is some relief as we look back to the south there. There is some very distinct relief in the shore of Serenitatis with some wrinkle ridges that follow the contour and some what look like fairly distinct arcuate rills that also follow the contour. And I think when we get up very close here, you can see in the field of view there right now is a lineament that looks like it might be some sort of a collapsed lava tube, and you can also see down in here the Mare material looks like it's pooling in the foothills of the mountains, and in some places you can even see what appears to be a frozen shoreline, so to speak.
Beautiful.
A good night's sleep like that, something had to wake them up early. This time it was ground control to Houston calling about an hour ahead of schedule with word that a problem had developed, and one that definitely sounded serious. Somewhere a small leak had sprung, and slowly their precious oxygen was escaping into space. Within minutes, the two crewmen found the trouble, a valve in a waste transfer tube running from the spacecraft, space suits actually, to the outside of the lunar module. They turned off the valve, and the problem was corrected. Oxygen pressure quickly returned to normal. However, some 8 to 9 pounds of the 96 pounds of oxygen on board had been lost. That's almost 10%. Now, ground control says this will not prevent the full ambitious 3-day schedule of moon exploration from being carried out, but it will be rather close. It's estimated that Scott and Irwin will have just about 2 pounds of oxygen above their safety margin when they are ready to lift off from the moon on Monday. Told about that situation, Scott quipped, "Okay, we'll breathe slowly and save as much as we can." And that's not just clearly a joke. Actually, they can conserve some of their consumables, oxygen and coolant water, by not working as hard as they might otherwise. Now let's listen to a tape of the astronauts in ground control talking about that problem.
Falcon, Houston, over. Morning, Dave. Waking you up an hour early because we've got a little problem on board. We need a rest. When you get a moment to get something to write it down, let me talk to you about it in detail. The problem we're looking at is leaking descent O2, and we're trying to determine whether we got a small cabin leak or a leak in the oxygen system itself. Over.
Houston, this is 15. We're just looking at the urine transfer device, and that valve was in the open position, although the device was capped.
I tell you, that's good news if that's what it is, man. It looks like we can tell you that at the present time, our extrapolations indicate we will have sufficient oxygen for a completely nominal mission.
Okay, we'll breathe slowly and save as much as we can.
Nominal in space talk is normal. Normal mission is still scheduled. Nelson Benton and Scott McCloud at Grumman Aerospace can tell us something about the nature of this morning's problem.
Walter, that problem that the ground controllers detected while Scott and Irwin were asleep was in itself perhaps not too large. The problem was that it indicated that things could perhaps get a lot worse. Scott, how did they find out what it really was that was causing them to lose oxygen?
Well, as I understand, I believe one of the recommendations came from our mission control center right here in Bethpage. The people that are familiar with the LEM are here. and are in communications with MCC in Houston.
Is what happened, the control center here just said, first thing you check is to see if the urine dump valve has been closed.
Yes.
And once they closed that, everything was all right.
Yes, that stopped the leak rate, and everything's ready to go.
And Walter, you always wonder how these things happen. A diagram of that urine dump valve says, closed valve after use. The valve hadn't been closed, but they're pretty good second-guessing plumbers once they're told what the problem is, and after that landing, you can't criticize their plumbing, I suppose.
Okay. Please join me on the ladder here.
I just ought to see his feet coming down that ladder there in just a moment then. Up at the top of the picture on the left-hand side. There he is.
Oh, that's great resume.
Hey, look at that.
Didn't get the cold.
Oh, it's a superb picture. What a picture.
Maybe the gold of the faceplate shows clearly. That's as good as a photograph.
Oh. Dave, an extraordinary television picture here.
Okay,
Did you hear the read back there? Okay, I was in receiving it and broadcasting it.
Standing out here in the wonders of the unknown at Hadley, I sort of realize there's a fundamental truth to our nature. Man must explore. And this is exploration at its greatest.
Of course it isn't, unless somebody can go back and refuel it.
No, can't say it again.
No.
Roger, Dave. Jim, got the message.
Okay. Okay. Sorry about that, Jim, but I have my landing, you know.
I think he's referring to Jim McDivitt here and crumped some of his equipment. Crump, of course, is airplane talk for bending it out
ETB.
Of shape.
Jim, you can transfer the ETB. I think you'll find the stability is pretty good. Okay.
In this picture, there's no doubt who was the command pilot or the commander with the red stripe on his suit, and that's the way we can keep them separate, of course.
Not Wally.
ETB is a transfer bag here. They run this lanyard out there.
Okay, Dave,
it's a moon clothesline.
Yeah,
clothesline.
Exactly, just run it down the clothesline.
This is a good view of that, though. You know, that didn't show before too well. You can see now. Wish these fellas stopped littering up the moon.
Okay, Dave, I'm gonna come on out. What happened?
Jim Irwin getting anxious.
Sitting up there in the door and ready to come down in the moon service.
There he comes. Well, it must be the... No, that's the... Just, that motion couldn't be real there. I think he's moving the camera.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. He's just gone back to the
equipment
bay.
He
might be moving the camera.
Momentum, you generate.
He is scheduled to do that. Although, wait a minute. But the lunar horizon doesn't
move.
Easy to
get going, but if you get all that momentum going there, why it takes a bit to stop.
He must be moving that Mesa hatch. It sounds like it was still up.
You must realize that this vehicle had never been tested in the moon environment, of course. Been thoroughly tested on Earth, but that's in the full gravity of Earth. This is 1/6 gravity. No air, no atmosphere. Now, they're just about
ready.
Jim,
go ahead. Okay, here it comes. Released. It's released. Okay. Now, if you come down, don't disturb our old glass ball. The rover's going to come down into a slight tilt to the left. I think we'll be okay.
Jim's released the latch, and now Dave Scott will pull on the lanyard. We'll spring it out there, let's hope.
I want to get the camera too, Dave. Yeah, so you're taking this out. I just started. It takes a while to unwind.
Irwin takes pictures of the
deployment. Walking on all these slopes make it sort of sporty, doesn't it?
Just thinking on this weekend back in Colorado, people have their campers out and they're getting their little trail bikes. We'll see the same scene on the moon.
TV. Oh, yeah. Don't write the TV over. Get in trouble. Whether I moved it or not. No, you didn't move it. Looks okay, I think. TV still look okay to you, Joe?
TV's fine.
Hey, you're on a TV, Jim. Yeah, I see that. Hey, watch it. Just go around. Let's go.
From the looks of that television picture, the immediate surrounding area should be good for the rover.
Your left foot's on the TV.
Thank you, Al.
No, you're still on it, Jim. Don't keep going. There you go. Now you're out.
Seatbelts.
Okay, safety belts on.
Let's see if it'll work.
Well, you sit up a lot higher than in 1G, but that makes sense, doesn't it?
Let's get
okay, air controller is locked. Brakes on, reverses down. Circuit breakers, all except the aux and the nav, are coming closed. I get readings on bus B. All the switches are off, by the way. Okay, switches are all closed.
Okay, Houston, you ready to copy some numbers?
No.
Okay, amp hours, 105 and 105.
It's only two batteries.
Amps, of course, are zero. Okay, volts. Well, number one, I got about 82, and number two is reading zero. Battery temperature, I'm reading 68, about 78 and 80. And the motor temps are off scale low, of course.
Roger, copy.
And the only discrepancy so... Copy. And the only discrepancy so far, I don't have any volts on number two. TWM select is volt. Drive enable. TWM 1, reverse TWM 2, and Houston, I'll stand by for any comments you might have on that readout.
Roger, Dave, I know you've rechecked your circuit breakers there.
Well, that's correct, the circuit breakers are all in. Dave, just let me know before you drive. Yeah.
Just concerned about the fact the no voltage reading on the number two battery would indicate the battery
Dave,
is
Dave, we're standing by for you to drive away and monitor the amps on battery two, please.
They've got that second battery is a standby, a redundancy. They can operate.
Okay, 50 volt DC is going to secondary.
One but it doesn't get any.
Forward bus A, rear bus B.
You see, it's after it's slower, of course, it means the voltmeter is open, but that's all.
Yeah.
Rather than the battery off the lamp.
Dave, and if battery two's out on us, we'll have no rear steering or no rear drive. Just be advised.
Okay. Out of D-tip.
There we go.
There we are.
Extraordinary.
$3 million or better on it.
Drives right out of the picture, just like it says in the script. And any good Western has that same scene.
Oh,
great.
You have rear steering? Okay.
Do you have amp on back two days?
You sure about that battery bit?
Do you have amp on?
Negative.
Hmm.
I don't have any front steering, Joe.
Doesn't have what?
Any front steering?
Rear steering, Dave. Yeah.
You must have steering.
He's got some steering there.
Yeah. That's unreal. That's it took a lot of trouble to convince people that's really on the moon. It looks so good.
Yeah.
And Dave, while you're rolling there, requesting forward steering to bus C, bus Charlie.
Okay. Steering forward to bus Charlie. Still no forward steering, Joe.
Roger.
Okay, got another suggestion?
It's like Jim Irwin's trying to catch up to the bus.
Yeah.
Cycle the forward steering circuit breaker, please.
Okay.
It might be noted that the Lunar Rover is one of the few pieces of equipment up there that doesn't have telemetry of its own back to Earth.
Okay,
in other words, they can't monitor on Earth exactly what's
cycle.
Happening in that vehicle. They have to get it all by word of mouth from Scott.
Again.